Also needs to share. Nope. Amen. You know, I've just witnessed family from Rafi, a young child, feeling the freedom within family to come up and share. Ryland asking his question to Kenny, sharing. We just experienced family. You know, when I started this series, I just felt this is what God wanted me to share on. I never could have anticipated that He would have caused us to experience the things that He was teaching us, which is that as a church, His church, one of the things is that we are family. And so we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. We come alongside each other and support each other. And so I've been, many of you weren't able to make the family camp, so you missed out on some of the things that, well, all the things that took place there. And I've been trying to discern in the Lord, you know, where to go this morning, what to share. You have an outline there in the bulletin, so you know I have, you know, something prepared there. But I just felt like we should perhaps just highlight again some of the things that were shared at family camp, so that all of us as family can at least get a glimpse of some of the things that God wants us to be meditating on, some of the things that God is calling us up higher to. So I'm going to put that these notes aside and just try and share back from Revelation chapter 3, the church in Laodicea. You know, David Slyker shared with us Thursday night from this scripture a little bit, and then from the book of Zechariah chapter 3, where, you know, Zechariah gets this picture, and he sees Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, and there it's basically a court scene, and the accuser, the prosecutor, is there to prosecute Joshua. And before Satan could basically say anything, the Lord speaks up and basically rebukes Satan. Basically says, "Satan, be quiet," and rebukes the devil, and then basically speaks to his angels, saying to take off those filthy garments and put on the festive garments on Joshua. All this time, he doesn't address Joshua. It's as if God just defends the high priest, who was actually guilty of many things that the devil would have accused him of. But God, in His mercy and His grace, looked beyond those things and gave Joshua new garments of celebration, garments to allow him to know that he's accepted in the presence of the Lord, garments to say that as far as the judge is concerned, you're not guilty. And there's Zechariah watching, and in the midst of it, Zechariah jumps in and says, also put on his head clean turban. Zechariah gets excited for Joshua, which is what family does. We get excited for each other. And so Zechariah couldn't keep his silence. He had to shout, put also on his head a clean turban. And that picture was to help us to see that we have to be careful which voice we're listening to, which narrative we're listening to. If we listen to the narrative of the devil, which many of us do, we are going to get a very negative picture. And the devil sometimes bring up things which are true, things of our past which are true. And if we allow ourselves to feed on those things, it will only drag us down. But we need to instead be able to put off those narratives and to listen to the narrative of the Lord. What is the Lord saying about us? What does He declare about us? How does He see us? And if we would be able to listen to the narrative of the Lord, we would function differently, we would act differently, we would actually receive more of God's joy and God's excitement into our lives. And when we are able to do that, it actually facilitates us being able to rejoice for others too. Because then we don't see others based upon their old narratives, but rather we are seeing others based upon the narrative that God has for them. And so we can rejoice with them. We can get excited for them because we can see how God is at work in their lives. And so it's a fantastic reminder to all of us that there's an accuser out there, and he is only willing and ready to tell us all of the negative stuff. And we have to choose who we're going to listen to. And then he shared from Revelation 3, starting at verse 14. This is a letter to the church in Laodicea. It says, "These to the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot, but I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need anything. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and eye salve to put on your eyes so that you may see." And the important thing for us is to remember this church, that one, this church was in a city that was one of the wealthiest cities in the first century. Laodicea was a very wealthy city. And so as a consequence, the people in the church were wealthy. Many times where a church finds itself, the people are going to be similar in economic status. If they're in a poor, struggling area, the chances are the church is going to also have financial challenges. A church which is amongst the rich and wealthy, the chances are they're going to have more than enough resources. So this church in Laodicea was in a wealthy city, and so they felt comfortable. They felt as if everything is fine. If they had the theology of some people today, they'd actually think we are so blessed. God is so pleased with us, because otherwise why would we have all of this wealth? It's because of God's goodness and God's grace where we have all of this wealth, so God must be pleased with us. And the challenge for us corporately as well as individually is to realize that yes, God blesses us with all sort of stuff, but what is most important is the what's happening in our hearts towards the Lord. And when he says the church is lukewarm, he's talking about in terms of how the desire and the zeal that they have for him. He's not talking about them comparing themselves with somebody else. Because it's easy, if I compare myself to somebody else, or if we as a church compare ourselves to some other church, it's easy for us to feel like, oh my goodness, we are so awesome. We are so great. But the reality is, when we come before the Lord, oftentimes the Lord is calling us higher. He's calling us to come after more. And we can actually, if we spend enough time with him, we'll realize that over time, a little bit of the passion has sort of drained from us. In fact, this past year with COVID-19 and different persons not being able to meet together in church, it's easy for them to think that they're all right until they go in front of God and God is saying, I want more for you. In other words, that's the attitude of the Lord. He's not so much trying to cut them down as much as he's trying to say, come up higher. I have so much more for you. Don't settle where you're at. Come after me. Come to me. Seek after me. And so that's what was happening in Laodicea. In that city, they actually had a medical school, and they did a lot of research. And they actually developed a certain eye salve that people from all over Asia Minor would travel to Laodicea to get that eye salve to help them to be able to see. And so these people felt comfortable. Any problem we have, it's already taken care of. We lack nothing. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and saying, we lack nothing? Individually and corporately. But many times, the way we function from day to day gives that appearance. You know, when we don't take the time to pray, we're basically saying, I don't need to pray. I lack nothing. I can do everything myself. I am a self-made man. I don't need anything. Prayer is one of those things that actually help us to see that we need God. We need God to intervene. We need God's strength. We need to give God thanks even for the strength and energy that we have and not to take it for granted. And so that church felt as if they were self-sufficient. They lacked nothing. Whatever they needed was already provided for them. And the challenge for us is to help us to see that don't take comfort in material stuff. Don't take satisfaction and become complacent because of material stuff. And different ones of us who have lost loved ones. And when you lose a loved one, it reminds you that, you know, you can't take any of this stuff with you. It doesn't matter what they used to drive. It doesn't matter where they used to live. It doesn't matter how fancy their closet might be. When that time comes, they're leaving every single thing behind. And so what is most important is what's happening in our hearts before the Lord. What are the things are we really going after? And so God was calling that church not to become complacent because of material stuff. And it's easy to become complacent when you have material stuff. You will find if you do a survey across the world that in the places where people are in need, they tend to pray a lot more. And places where they don't have good hospitals, they pray a lot more for healing. Places where, you know, they lack vaccines a lot more, they're praying and asking for God's intervention. And it can become so complacent for us to, why do I need to pray? If I have a headache, I can use Tylenol. I don't need to pray, you know. And so God was challenging the church in Laodicea, saying, come up higher. And that's what he was saying to us at camp. Come up higher. Come after me. Get out of that place of complacency. And come after me. So, in that city, they had two sources of water. They had the hot springs and the cold springs. The hot springs were springs where people could come, and it actually was an environment where it actually was able to be used to bring relief, physical relief, to pains and aches that people would have. There are some hot springs in Jamaica. One of them is called Milk River Bath. And if you ever go to that springs, you'll find lots of people come there because they have arthritis, they have all sort of aches and pains, and they'll spend time in that bath, a nice warm springs, and their aches and pains would leave them while they're there and for several hours after. And so Laodicea had hot springs where people would travel to come and to get a little bit of healing, a little bit of relief. They always had the cold springs, which supplied them with the water. And when the water is nice and cold, it was refreshing. And so when the Lord said to the church, that, you know, I wish that you are either hot or cold, he was saying, I wish you have such that people could come amongst you and get healing. That my presence was of such that people could come and there would be a balm to touch their hearts and touch and for them to be restored. Or I wish you have such that they would come and find refreshing. Those who are weary, those who are downcast could come and be refreshed. But because you're so self-satisfied, you're not doing either of those things. They were lukewarm. You go into lukewarm water, it doesn't bring any healing. And it doesn't bring any sort of refreshing. In fact, the Lord says that because you're lukewarm, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. That, the word in the Greek actually means to vomit. Not just spit you out. It's like, oh, goodness, what is that? And God was saying to the church, you can do better, basically. He's not like condemning them, but he's saying, no, you can do better. You have within you the potential to bring healing and the potential to bring refreshing. Why don't you come up higher so you can do that? And so as we look at our own lives, as I look at my life, I have to look at my life and say, is my life of such that as I interact with people, they can receive refreshing? They can receive healing? Or is my life of such when they interact with me, basically I'm just like they are, so there's no difference. I'm as David Slyker says, I'm useless. And so the challenge for God's people in this hour is for us to be so desirous of the Lord, to be so passionate for the Lord, that there's something about us that as we interact with people who are in need, they are drawn to the source, who's the Lord himself, so that they can receive the healing they need or the refreshing that they so earnestly desire. By the way, it's a great place to say amen. My wife is going back to the old days where they say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. That reminds me, and I'll take a minute and tell you this. Many years ago, I shared from this passage in one church, and that church became so quiet. So quiet. You could actually hear like a pin drop. And it was like, oh my goodness, what on earth is going on here? And please don't be like that. Say something, because if we are understanding what God is doing, God loves us. He starts out by saying, I'm the faithful witness. I'm the amen. So he loves us enough that he wants us to see that there's much more in him. There's more in the Lord. We should never settle for where we're at. There's much, 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 much more. And so the Lord is saying, come on for the more. But for us to realize that there's more, sometimes you have to say it to us, where you're at is not enough. And that's basically what he's saying to the church. Where you're at is not enough. There's more in me. Come for it. Have the type of attitude that Moses had. That even though he saw the 10 plagues, and even though he saw the Red Sea part, even though he saw all of those things upon the mountain, you're still crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, show me your glory. There is more in the Lord. That's what he's trying to say to you and to me. There's more in me. Don't settle for less. And don't compare yourself with each other either, because that is deception. Come after me. So the Lord then says, you say, I'm rich. This is their confession. I'm rich. You say that. You say that I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize. In other words, your eyes are blind. You don't realize your true spiritual condition. This is the story of the emperor's clothes. You know, the emperor thinks he's so fine. And so we can think that we are so fine. I can think I'm so great. I'm so fantastic. And the moment I start to think like that, it means that I'm losing my sight. And so the Lord encourages the church. He says, I urge you, I encourage you, I exhort you to be zealous and to be repentant. And one of the things David said was that the word zealous actually means to have an attitude where you keep at it week after week, month after month, you keep going after the Lord. You never settle for less. So zealous is not so much as if you're running a sprint, as much as you have set your heart that this may be a marathon and I'm going to keep going after the Lord. That's what he really is saying when he says, be zealous. Keep coming after me. And so he says to be zealous. and repent, and buy, I counsel you, I encourage you, I give you advice. Buy from me gold refined in the fire. Buy from me the true gold, not the physical stuff. He's saying that there is some things that you can get from his word that it takes a lot more than just reading it on the surface. We're not talking about some gold-plated stuff now. We're talking about real gold that has been refined in the fire. So Lord is saying, come and spend some time with me. Come and seek after me. Come and spend time in my word so I can give you some real nuggets of gold. That which is more valuable than the things around you. Come and buy from me. It takes a little bit of effort. Gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear. One of the things I forgot to mention was that in Laodicea also they produce linen material, and so they had all sort of fancy clothes because they're wealthy. And the Lord is basically saying, you think you're all that well dressed and stuff, but you're naked spiritually. You're naked. We can often have on all of the fancy stuff on the outside and look all nice and stuff, but spiritually for the Lord there's nothing. And so I'm saying, I counsel you to buy from me fine linen, which has, in this book of Revelation, you know, is the righteous acts of the saints. Come and listen to me so I can direct you to the good works that you need to be doing, which are the things that will have eternal value. And so we know this from the Old Testament. The Lord says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so our heart really after, Lord, I want to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. I want to do the righteous things that will cause you, O Father, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It might not look like anything big in the eyes of the world. It might just be to help an elderly person with their lawn, or help an elderly person across the street. It might be some simple things that the world would overlook, but in the eyes of God, those are some good stuff, good material. And then he says to also buy for me eye salve for your eyes so that you might see. In other words, to come before the Lord and to actually ask him, Lord, show me. Show me the things that I need to see. Help me to see truly how you want me to progress. And some of these things take time. You know. And as David shared, the time is not so much necessarily 3 hours. It might just be 10 minutes a day or whatever it is, whatever time you have, but it's quality time now. You're really before the Lord because of the way your heart is. It's not just doing your daily devotions. It's going a little bit more than that. You want to go deeper. It's like the psalmist crying out, search me, O God, and know me. Lord, help me to see what's really going on. And he's calling us, all of us, to that place. Because he wants more for us. He doesn't want us to settle. So I counsel you to buy from me eye salve. You know what it is because you have your own production here in your city, but that's not going to help you spiritually. And so the Lord is encouraging them. He says, those whom I love, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So the Lord is saying to them, please be encouraged. It's because I love you and I have more for you why I'm showing you this. If I didn't love you, I'd leave you as you are. And you think you're all this when the Lord is saying, no, there's much more I have for you. And says, so because I love you, come on up. Come on up. And then he says, the King James says, behold, this one says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. In other words, the Lord is saying, you know, we can, on a personal level, have my own little devotions, but I'm not really supping with the Lord. I'm just going through the motions. I have my daily bread, so I need to get it done so I can go about my day. Or you can come to church and it's just part of your our routine. Or we can literally say, Lord, I need to commune with you. I need to have fellowship with you. Lord, I'm opening up my mind. I'm opening up my heart. And I'm saying, Lord, come on in, Lord God, and sup with me. And he says, if we do that, in other words, the picture is that it's easy to go through the motions. We can have church. I mean, we know how to do church. I mean, yeah. We can plan services. We can do all sort of stuff. But are we really communing with the Lord? As Sean was encouraging us earlier, perhaps the Lord wants to stop. Want us to stop at a song. And just commune with him, just fellowship with him. You know? And he's saying, if you do it, he is polite. He's standing at the door and knocking. And we use this many times to refer to people who are not saved. But really, he's talking to the church. It does apply to those who are not saved, don't get me wrong. But he was actually talking to the church. And he's saying, I'm standing at the door. I want to come in. I want to have fellowship with you. But you, all you need to do is to say, come on in, open the door. And I'll come in and you'll have that sweet, sweet fellowship with me. That communion with me. I'll open your eyes and I'll help you to see things in my word. I'll help you to see different things. So if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So he's saying that this is a step to overcoming. This is a step to the victorious life, is to have this type of communion with the Lord, where because we know he loves us, we know that from time to time he's going to call us higher, from time to time he's going to direct us, from time to time he's going to admonish us, but it's because he loves us and he wants the best for us. I'm going to ask Sean just to come on back. So I want to encourage us and to challenge us not to allow the word of the Lord to slip us. And that's why I felt the Spirit of the Lord saying, just wait. Don't, there's no need to rush. Just wait to allow his word to germinate. Allow his spirit to move us, because when you get into a rut, it's harder to get out of the rut. And we all know it. You make up your mind, you're going to get out, and before you know it, things happen and you're back into the same place. You know, if you have a habit, for example, of going to places late, and you finally said, you know what, I'm going to go early this time. And that same morning, wake up to go early, you have a flat tire. And you end up later, and you say, like you said, you know what, it doesn't even make any sense. And before you know it, you're still back in that rut. And so, I believe the Lord is saying that sometimes it takes a little bit to get us out of the rut, to get us going again, to get that passion, that flame in our hearts firing up again. Because not only do I desperately need it, each one of us, I believe, desperately need that to keep us going. There's so much happening around us to distract us and to discourage us and to sap all the zeal, and we all need that. And then the world itself needs it too. You see, the world needs to see some people who are on fire for God. The world needs to see some people who, they know that when I go amongst them, or when I call for them, I'm going to get healing, or I'm going to get some refreshing. The world needs to, and we can't wait until the time of need comes to try and get this thing. You know, we have to be at that place where we're drinking from the Lord, where we're fellowshipping with the Lord, where things are happening in our hearts, where, you know, as the Lord touches us, the tears of the Lord flows freely. You know, sometimes we get so hardened that it's hard for the Lord to even allow us to cry in his presence. But I believe God wants to touch us and to tenderize us again. We can become so critical of the world that we become harsh with the world, and to realize they're in darkness. They don't know what they're doing. And so it makes a world of a difference when our hearts are there before the Lord. Because then, as we sing sometimes, break me what breaks your heart. Help me to love as you love. So we have to go back into his presence and continue to ask him, Lord, to work upon us. Encourage us. Mold us. Transform us. Let's just stand. Scripture says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. What is God saying to you? What do you hear him whispering to you? What is the challenge that is put before you? Is he calling you higher? Is he calling you to go after more? Is he calling you to experience a fresh infilling from his presence? Is he calling you to renew your passion? Is he calling you, like the Apostle Paul, to forget the things which are behind and to press forward? If that's you, lift your hands to the Lord. And in your own words, express that to the Lord, saying, Lord, draw me higher. Fill me anew. Rekindle my passion. Move me out of this rut, O God. Let's take a moment and just be personal with the Lord. Open the door and let him into those secret places. Lord, this morning, Lord, we want to buy from you gold. Lord, we want to get the quality stuff, the things that will endure, oh God, through eternity. Lord, we want to buy from you, oh God, white linen, so we can be clothed with righteous acts. Lord, we want to buy from you eye salve, oh God, that we might see. Lord, see ourselves and see your glory and see the things, oh God, we need to see. Open our eyes, oh God, we might see. Help us not to look, oh God, upon external things. Help us, oh God, not to become consumed with a desire just for external things. But help us, oh God, to see the things that are truly valuable in your sight. Lord, help us, oh God, so that we might indeed be a source of healing to those who need healing, and a source of refreshing to those who are weary and those who are tired. Father, help us. Lord, only you, O God, can meet these needs. Only you, O God, can take us from where we are at to the next level, O God. And so, Lord, we thank you. It's because you love us that you call us higher. We thank you, O God, that you are indeed the amen, and you are indeed the true witness. We thank you, God, you show us the solutions, oh God, that will cause us to move to the next level. And so, Father God, this morning again, we cry out unto you. And we say, Lord, we need you more than anything else. Oh, Father God, we need you. Lord, even to make it through this day, Lord, we need you. Lord, there's so much happening all around us. Lord, we need you. And so, Lord, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Sean, let's just sing this song Sean is playing.
No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. No place that I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain and I can't control. I want more. I want more. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. More of you, Lord.
Father, give you thanks. Thank you for your love, O God. Thank you for a love that comes and assists us, a love that comes and transforms us, a love that sent Christ all the way to the cross for us, a love that causes us, O God, to have a new identity as sons and daughters of God. Lord, now we are part of your family. Lord, now we are your representatives in the earth. And so, Lord, we thank you for that love. Lord, we thank you for that confidence that you have in us. Lord God, that you have left us here to represent you here on the earth. And Father God, your Spirit is at work in us, calling us forward, O God, calling us after you, mighty God. Lord, increase our hunger for you. Increase our thirst for you, O God. May we settle for nothing less than you, mighty God. May we indeed be a people of your passion. May we indeed be followers of Christ. And so, Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord God, that indeed you have taken away our filthy garments. You have removed those filthy stuff from us. And you have given us festive clothes that we can stand in your presence, O God. But you still call us higher for more. You still call us to come after you, almighty God. And so we give you thanks and we give you praise this day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen. If you are sick or you have need for prayer in another way, you can come on up front and there'll be people up here to pray with you. Otherwise, you're free to go. The Lord bless you and you are dismissed.